Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare.
Well, today, let's start with what's on everybody's mind, the coronavirus. And Dr. Prather, let's do an update right now on the coronavirus. How bad is this new coronavirus?
Well, it definitely is something that's spreading quickly. They're not quite sure, you know, just how contagious it is, but it is extremely contagious. So it is something that is spreading rapidly throughout the world. Iran is becoming a big epicenter of it. It's definitely in Europe. It's traveled all across the world. And it people are starting to get it from person-to-person contact in the United States. Washington State seems to be a big area for it. And it really wasn't detected early. So we really don't know how many people have it. So it is something to be concerned. The World Health Organization has put out a high alert on it. So it does, you know, basically what they said, the Center of Disease Control said it's not a matter of if are we going to have a pandemic here in the United States. It's when it's going to hit, and it's here, and we'll have to see how it develops from there. So it is something to be aware of. Now, when we talk about how bad it is, it's good to kind of keep that in perspective with the influenza. So influenza is a big killer in the United States. It's about 50,000 people die a year, somewhere around there. It varies a little bit depending on how bad it is. And it is the number 8 killer. So you have the
influenza is.
Influenza with secondary pneumonia is the number 8 killer you know, in the United States. So it is a big problem. Influenza has a death rate of about 0.1%. So if you get the influenza, that's about the chances that you are of actually dying from it. Now, from coronavirus, from everything that they said along those lines, it's about a 2% chance of dying from the virus.
Okay.
Which is 20 times greater.
Than influenza.
Than influenza right now. Now, back in the Spanish flu, 1918, and pandemics kind of hit every 100 years or so. The Spanish flu of 1918, of course, the Spanish don't call it Spanish flu, but that's okay. It actually was about a 10% death rate. So gives you a little bit of perspective along the lines and what it could be. It could be, you know, if it spreads like it's supposed to, I mean, it would be about 20 times as deadly as the influenza is right now.
Okay.
So something to be concerned about.
Right. Right. Is there a vaccine right now?
There is not a vaccine at this point. They are working quite quickly. Now, one of the things is that the World Health Organization and the Center of Disease Control have really done an amazing job at going after this. They've been able to sequence it much quicker. They've been able to get things going much quicker. Do they expect to get out a vaccine before too long? Yes. At that point, though, I would suspect most of the people have already had it. So it will be effective, you know, as we go along, but probably won't be available for people before they actually will probably wind up getting it.
Okay. You're thinking it's going to hopefully be near the end of this? I mean,
where are we with the whole thing? Well, interestingly enough, what, you know, understanding viruses and how they work, it's not good for a virus to kill its host. So they, what viruses?
That's not what they really want to do.
That's not really what they're going for. What they're trying, what they do is we are their incubation where the nursery for the viruses. So the viruses will enter in usually through the they'll go through the nose, through the mouth, through the eyes in the most common ways. They can even go in through the ears. So they're looking for some way to enter into your body. And then they go to the cells, and the easiest way that they go into the most, the best place is to go into the lungs. So they go into the lungs, they penetrate the cell wall, and then they go in there and we have our reproduction area, where we make our proteins. So they go up to the transcript and start kicking off their children.
Mm-hmm.
And then they fill up the cell, and when they get too big for the cell explodes, and then they escape, and they go to another cell. And that's what causes the destruction of the fluid and sets you up to get secondary bacterial infection, which is basically you drown, is what happens. Mm-hmm. Your lungs kind of fall apart. So it's not a pretty type of thing that occurs along those lines, but that's basically what happens. And the idea on that is to keep the host alive and then go on to someone else and then start the whole process again. If you kill your host, then that kind of stops the whole process. So when the influenza, the Spanish flu, hit, it was the H1N1. And now the H1N1 for people is one of the milder flus.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we had the H3N2, which causes a lot more illness. People get the H1N1 influenza A, usually is a mild form of it, and people don't die as quickly from it. But that was the same one that killed about 10% of the world's population at that time.
And this isn't a new virus, the coronavirus. The one now is a new coronavirus.
It's a new coronavirus. Because what this coronavirus is the source was bats, is what they've come up with. Bats, camels, and cats are the three places that you can get that kind of hold of coronavirus. Just like the influenzas are all bird flus. When they talk about the bird flu, all influenzas came from birds originally.
But this coronavirus came from bats.
Probably from bats, and it's new to people. That's why it's deadly.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 5 different types of coronaviruses that have been in the human population for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a coronavirus, and it, unless you're really weak, it doesn't kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you sick, but most people don't even hardly, it doesn't really slow them down.
Now, the people that are dying, do they have compromised immune system? Are they older?
Do they have lung problems? Yeah, that is one of the things, is that if you, again, it's only 2% of the population that gets it.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's those people who are kind of set up on that. And one of the things I want to talk about, what are the things that kind of set you up?
Yes.
To be able to, to wind up really, really sick from this. Instead of, because a lot of people, one of the things that they found in Washington is the people who were getting it hardly were showing any symptoms. So, it wasn't really something that people were picking up on. So we really don't know how common it is in the United States right now, because the testing, you have to have certain criteria to get tested. In other words, you're really, really sick. Now, I'm not completely sure why that is, if they have a limited number or the cost or what the factor is. But I think that more people should be tested than what's being tested.
So if I'm feeling sick, and you have to be really sick to get the testing.
And have some exposure. So they have a list of criteria. You have to have a certain fever level, you have to have a certain fatigue, certain symptoms, and then you also have to have a recognized source of contact. And one of the things is they found out that one person met the criteria, but they had no idea of any type of contact that they would have had, and then come to find out it was on down the line, and it's been spreading for a little while.
Okay.
So, we don't know how much of it is actually in the United States, but it is more, let me just say, it's more than what we realize.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something going on, and something that is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be extremely contagious.
So it's airborne?
Airborne. And it even, in other words, there was one guy on the first floor that they showed had the infection, and somebody on the 10th floor picked it up. They're like, how did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to discover if it was an air vent or what it was, but that's a long ways to travel.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it is something that is a big problem and something that is developing. But now, so in other words, if you can avoid, first off, what I'm saying is the influenza, we really didn't come up with a whole lot to really, the Spanish flu. Mm-hmm. But in about, when we got it here in the United States, and it went for about 6-7 months, and then all of a sudden, it was okay. Mm-hmm. Now, why was that? That's because the virus shifted. Mm. Each time that it makes it, it shifts its DNA.
Okay.
So right now, it is not used to human hosts. It's used to bat hosts. Mm-hmm. Probably went from bats to pigs to humans, is what I would probably guess.
Okay.
And it is not used to human hosts, so it kills us unintentionally.
Mm-hmm.
So as it progresses, as it goes along, everybody's going to wind up getting this coronavirus at some time in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is so contagious, and it is something that's going to be around. And you're going to develop an immunity, and you're going to pass it on to your children. So the next generation, it's no big deal. And also, not only are we shifting, but the virus is shifting to sort of accommodate us. So the longer that you go without getting it, the less deadly it becomes.
Mm-hmm. Less severe.
Yeah, and so now the H1N1 is used to us. It really doesn't kill us, but it just makes us sick. And so that's what's going to happen. So if you can avoid getting it, first off, for as long as you possibly can, the better your chances.
And when we come back, let's talk about how to avoid getting the coronavirus. We'll be right back.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
According to the World Health Organization and the Center of Disease Control, we are now in a post-antibiotic age. What that means is that we have a tremendous number of bacteria that have complete resistance mm-hmm. to antibiotics. When antibiotics came out, it was like a miracle in the healthcare industry. Bacterial infections were the number one killer of people. And the antibiotics just changed the whole landscape. And we were into a new age of healthcare. And so I consider antibiotics as one of our most precious type of commodities that we have in the modern world. Like a lot of things, we took something that was absolutely fantastic, overused it for things that we surely shouldn't have. And when we did that, the bacteria are really, really smart and can really reproduce quite quickly. In a very short amount of time, they were figuring out how to fight back against the antibiotics. There is a war going on there because of our poor use of antibiotics. The bacteria have won. Now we are in an age where we can go back to that pre-antibiotic era. And would really cut down on life expectancy, would really change the whole ball game. After you do a surgery, get a course of antibiotics so you don't get a post-surgical infection. That actually is not happening nowadays. Because oftentimes you can get a post-surgical infection and it can kill you mm-hmm. because the bacteria are no longer responding to the antibiotics. So we have a very major problem. It is something that we need to take stock of. Rethink how we do prescriptions, pharmaceutical prescriptions. We feel that we have the answer to this problem, and that's what we're trying to put out there. The CDC and the World Health Organization, all the people sit there and say, our philosophy on that is 80% should be structure function care, 20% should be pharmaceutical based. Mm-hmm. They agree with us. We're on the side that has the scientific backing. Antibiotics are the first line of defense. That is not the way that antibiotics are supposed to be used. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I'm against antibiotics. I'm actually a huge proponent of antibiotics. I love antibiotics, but we are destroying our the antibiotics. Mm-hmm. I'm on my podium right now, but I get pretty passionate about it and very frustrated.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
And I'm feeling good.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
Well, we're giving an update on the coronavirus. And Dr. Prather, let's talk about how to avoid getting the coronavirus.
Well, the big thing is that, well, of course, in Indiana, it's not as common. It's more on the West Coast, East Coast, because that's where
the
larger...
Yay for the Midwest. I'll take those cloudy days over the coronavirus.
That's where people from other countries kind of come from.
Yes.
And that's where, you know, that's how it's being spread. It's because it's being brought into the United States. So it's a much more international type communities that you're getting a lot of that in from. And the big thing is, of course, is very contagious. So being in large crowds, one of the things that they did in China, Japan, several countries, is they canceled schools. Classrooms are the biggest way to spread infections throughout the entire world. Because kids don't have as strong of an immune system as adults do.
So you're saying kids shouldn't go to school?
Well, yeah, I'm sure some kids, you know, parents, cover your kids' ears right now, because they'll sit there and say, but Dad, I might get the coronavirus, new coronavirus, I shouldn't go to school.
Yeah.
If it does
the
come
The educators
to,
aren't going to like you either.
Yeah, well, actually, they get a vacation too, because they get paid anyway. So teachers are going, yes, and the students are going, yes. But it is a very big way that things are spread. Big concerts, any type of big gatherings. So the Tokyo Marathon, saw a picture of that, and it was just this huge crowd of people that ran. All they allowed was the elite athletes to be
able
to
run. Know they canceled big events.
Big events
in
throughout
Japan
there.
Now and China.
Yeah, they're talking about even canceling the Olympics in Japan, the Summer Olympics. So one of the things that they did to stop the Spanish flu from spreading as quickly is they finally canceled schools and canceled the big events, gatherings, because they found that big gatherings is where all of a sudden all you need is one person in there and you've infected the entire group.
Well, I was thinking at church this last Sunday, we shook people's hands.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Well, in Korea, they have gone to video streaming the churches, because they have these mega the biggest churches in the world are in Korea.
Wow.
But they also stream it, so they have had their services, they've switched it all to streaming services. So church groups, any type of a gathering like that, airplanes are a big source of actually getting that too. So being aware of all those things, and the more that you can avoid it, the better. Now, the other thing is everybody's wearing those masks. The mask that they have does not protect you from the coronavirus. It's a false sense of security. What the mask is for is really for people who are sick to wear them, so that when they cough or sneeze or things like that, or breathe, it's not, they're not sending the virus out.
Okay.
So the little mask that people wear really don't protect you from the
virus.
But
what about people, doesn't protect you from people that the airborne?
No.
Okay.
Because you've got the
eyes.
I know
they're having nurses and staff in hospitals wear them.
They are. And basically the reason is if the nurses or the doctors or the staff are sick. Because you can have it for 14 days before you even know that you have the virus.
I see. Okay.
So it is to protect the patients, not necessarily to protect the staff. If you are going to wear something that is protective, it needs to cover the entire head. Ears, eyes, nose, and mouth also.
Okay.
So all those things. In other words, when you see people who really want to be protected, they're in spacesuits.
Yeah.
With special type of breathing devices.
Okay. So we talked about how to avoid large crowds.
Right.
Hand washing, very important.
Very important, because you can actually, if you sneeze into your hand and then touch mm-hmm. something, then for a while you can spread the virus.
And we taught our kids something simple that your mom taught them.
Right.
Sing happy birthday. That's how long, through the whole course of happy birthday. So it's not a quick, get in between the fingers.
Right.
Very important. There's a lot of videos out there I'm even seeing that are streaming on how to wash your hands.
Don't touch your face.
Yeah. That's my issue. Yeah. Touching your face. And
right. Eyes. Mm-hmm. Eyes are a big way that the virus comes in.
Mm-hmm. And then back on handshakes, they said in China they were showing the new handshake.
They're doing the feet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Touch each other's ankles.
Do you have to take off your shoes to do it?
No. But then the elbow, even saying you cough into your elbow and then you're doing an elbow bump. Might not be the best thing.
All right.
But important to cough into that elbow crease instead of your hand.
Right.
What other ways, Dr. Prather, can we avoid it? And
let's talk about boosting the
immune system. Yeah.
Right. So the big ways that is important to try to, right now for medications, let me talk about what they're trying for. They don't have a medication for the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
What they have tried is some of the HIV medicines has been effective. And then also the malaria medicines are two of the things that they're experimenting with. But one of the ways that you can do that is boosting your own immune system. So the biggest thing that I talk about with upper respiratory infections is vitamin A. Now, you can get a toxic level of vitamin A, so just taking vitamin A on a regular basis without monitoring it is not a good idea. But what you can do is beta-carotene. Beta-carotene is a precursor to vitamin A, and you can take huge amounts of beta-carotene with absolutely no possibilities of any problems associated with it.
You won't turn orange?
Well, you turn a little bit orange. But your eyes don't turn orange. That's because people sit there and say, you've got liver, but no, only if your eyes turn orange. But the beta-carotene is a very, very safe way to do that. And you can take large amounts of it, and it really helps with upper respiratory infections.
Mm.
So that is recognized as probably the best treatment by the World Health Organization for upper respiratory infections, because vitamin A basically boosts the immunoglobulin A, and the immunoglobulin A is what protects your gut and protects your lungs.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at that is a great way to do that. Also building up the cell wall. So the viruses have to be able to penetrate the cell wall. So one of the other things that's excellent is monolaurin. And monolaurin builds up the cell wall and makes it stronger. So trying to get that built up is a great way of doing that. Now, you are more susceptible because cell walls are made up of cholesterol. And if you are taking cholesterol-lowering drugs, you're much more susceptible to viruses. And that is one of the things that you have to be aware of that probably would make you more susceptible to the new coronavirus, or the COVID-19 is what they call it.
So this, what's this last one you said that builds up the cell wall?
Monolaurin.
Okay.
Monolaurin is very well known.
That'd be really helpful for people that are on cholesterol-lowering.
Especially on people on cholesterol-lowering medication. It's very, very helpful.
So you said the beta-carotene.
Yes.
To help build the immune system.
Monolaurin. Yes.
Okay.
And then also a homeopathic. Mm-hmm. So we at this point can make a homeopathic, one for all the coronaviruses, and then we can also add in the homeopathic for the COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a homeopathic that we can make at our office for these particular problems, which helps the body to isolate and to boost the immune system to attack the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what homeopathics do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 1-2-3 punch, three simple types of things, the beta-carotene, the monolaurin, and the homeopathic.
And we're making these available For people.
We are making these mm-hmm. available for people.
And yes. This is to build the immune system, because if you have a strong immune system,
right.
You know, you wouldn't have any problem with the coronavirus if you keep your immune system up.
Well, I wouldn't say that it's guaranteed, but it really increases your chances of not having a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are most at risk for this are the same people who are most at risk for the influenza. So people who are on a lot of drugs or any type of immune suppressant drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You also have older people, and then younger people are the people who are most at risk. So those are the people who really need to be protected. And really, those people should be taken out of the circulation. So kids, you know, nurseries and churches, you probably should leave the kids at home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So babies, infants, all the way up until about 5 or 6, keep them at home. Mm-hmm. If you're older, you know, keep them away from other people. If you are on immune suppressant drugs, hang out at your computer. You know,
mm-hmm.
you need to kind of step back from society, not get as much exposure. Nursing homes right now is a big area of spread. Mm-hmm. Those are dangerous places.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all the things that you need to be looking at and trying to, one, avoid, and then also building up the immune system of those individuals.
Now, I'm going on a plane to Dallas this
Correct.
Weekend. What precautions do I need to take?
One of the things that you could do on that, because it does help a little bit, if it's not as big of a thing, but, you know, just wearing a mask on the plane isn't mm-hmm. a bad idea. It does cut down a little bit on that.
They say taking wipes and
right, taking wipes.
The table.
Right. Don't breathe as you're flying.
Don't breathe. Okay.
If you can hold your breath from what, you know,
See, I need that oxygen mask.
Right, there you go. So.
And then I'm thinking of doing a trip to Napa Valley.
Right.
In the spring, and I'm wondering, should I with. You know, all that's going on in the state of Washington.
There is an awareness of travel and what's going on, and we're not quite sure how bad it's going to become, but really trying to boost our own immune systems is going to be one of the biggest things.
So could the virus wind up not being severe, you know, and it will only last a certain amount of time?
It could be a big dud. Which we pray that it is.
Yes.
So the virus, as it's going along, could all of a sudden shift just like that.
And always spring brings better things.
Of course, one of the things, of course, is vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
That also plays a very big role. And influenza season is always when when people have the lowest sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Sunshine also kills the virus. So if the sun starts coming out, one, it boosts our immune system, and it also cuts down on the virus. So there's always hope with that type of a thing that everything will get better.
Okay. Anything else, Dr. Prather?
Oh, there's tons, but I think that's enough at this point.
Okay. Every week we're going to do an update on the coronavirus. When we get back, we're going to talk about what causes anxiety and how to cope with it.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
Laughter is the best medicine.
I was driving down Shepherd Drive in Houston, and somebody cut me off, and I slammed on the brakes. And I'll never forget as I was going down thinking, this gonna hurt. And I wasn't wearing a helmet, which I know is stupid, but in Texas, we have you don't have to wear a helmet law, because we don't care about our stupid people. The ambulance came, they stuck me in there, and you know those ambulances, they don't have shocks. You could run over a quarter and tell if it's heads or tails. And then they said, what hospital would you like to go to? I said, the nearest one.
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
the World Health Organization and the Center of Disease Control said that we're really ignoring the pre-diabetic condition, and that's really where we need to be starting to treat people.
And so how many people are pre-diabetic?
Well, that's the shocking number. It's about 80 million people.
Wow.
That they estimate are pre-diabetic.
That's not including type 2, type 1. That's
no,
just pre-diabetic.
No, we've got the...
That's a pandemic. That's what you said.
Right. We've got 35 million people who have diabetes. Mm-hmm. Only 23 million people know that. 80 million people is what they... And I find that very true because we're constantly telling people. Matter of fact, there are more people that come into our office that are pre-diabetic that aren't. It's the fastest growing disease in America. It is going way beyond any other type of disease growth.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
Have you ever been curious about how acupuncture can benefit your health? The Prather Practice has received the NDA List Award for Best in Acupuncture for 2 years in a row.
And we've been rated the top acupuncture provider by Google+.
Dr. Robert Prather is a board-certified licensed acupuncturist. He's earned a reputation for combining effective acupuncture-based techniques with cutting-edge technology to help patients with many conditions. Acupuncture is documented and proven to help with many health issues, including pain, allergies, addiction control, anxiety, fatigue, vision problems, infertility, and so much more. We even have needle-free options for those who are a bit squeamish around needles. Call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment and experience the benefits of acupuncture for yourself. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048.
Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com.
The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
We're going to talk about, these next two segments, on what causes anxiety, how to cope with it. But one thing you were saying, the coronavirus, if you can keep your stress level down.
Right. Stress is the biggest thing that wreaks havoc with your immune system. So the more relaxed you are, the healthier you are, the better your immune system is.
Mm-hmm.
I always talk about the time where we were doing dark field microscopy, where we could actually see the white blood cells and how they were working. So doc says, okay, you're all stressed, you've come here, so let me take some of your blood,
mm-hmm.
and then put it on a dark field microscopy and see if there's some bacteria. And we saw several people who were sick and saw them, their white blood cells trying to go after the infection. And they were pretty sluggish and poor. And he showed some funny movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then he drew their blood again and then showed the difference of the white blood cells, how they were attacking the bacteria.
Interesting.
And it was incredibly different.
Yeah.
You know, there was just, and it wasn't, several days of this. It was immediate. So one of the biggest things that you can possibly do is keep your anxiety and stress down during this time. And, you say that, and everybody's stressed about the
coronavirus.
Virus. Yeah. Right.
So, yeah, well, what's real interesting, I was trying to find some movie Friday night.
Right.
And I wanted a nice comedy. There's hardly any comedies anymore.
You're making comments on the movie industry.
I am. It's all drama and...
Well, that's why you sit there and you can go back and look at the old movies.
Yeah, go back to the old movies.
Go back to the old movies, and that's one of the great things that we have nowadays.
Where would you listen to them? Make you
that would make me laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, it was mainly guys, so they used a Laurel and Hardy.
Laurel and Hardy. And,
yeah, Laurel and Hardy.
That's dating you.
Yeah. Well, all the kids are going, who? But they used my favorite, which was the whole piano scene,
uh-huh.
where they were taking
the piano.
That's just like probably one of the funniest things ever made. It was hilarious. But anyway, so that's an important type of thing. But as we're talking about the whole thing of keeping your immune system up during this time, stress and anxiety are things that are huge.
Yeah.
You know, when we're talking about that, do you know that 30% of all Americans suffer from some form of anxiety.
30%, wow.
30%.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an extreme stress situation where the body is no longer... The reason that we have stress is it actually was a protective mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just for us, but it's also other people. So if a leopard starts coming towards you and he looks really hungry, you should probably get a little stressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're just like calm, hey, dude, what's happening? that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to get stressed and sit there and say, hey, I got to do something about that. You forget about the digestion. You forget about your immune system.
Oh, are you going to say that? Hey, I got to do something. Just run.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. Don't even have to think about it. You just react.
Uh-huh.
You fight or flight. You're either going to attack it or you're going to run away. And you don't even think about it. Now, the problem comes if you get stuck in that.
Mm-hmm. And that fight or flight.
Yes.
Because which we call the sympathetic
nervous
system. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the problem comes in.
So what are the symptoms of an anxiety attack?
I mean, people oftentimes when they have severe anxiety attacks, they come into me and they've wound up in the ER because they think they're having a heart attack.
Because
the heart starts beating real quickly, they start to sweat, they feel like they can't breathe, it's hard to think, their body feels like it's almost like vibrating even.
Mm-hmm.
And they wind up in the ER, they do the checks, they say, no, you're just having a anxiety attack. And they go, wow, I felt like I was dying.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have a heart attack. Yeah.
Right, that you're winding up having a heart attack. And it's just that your fight-flight mechanism has gone into overdrive.
Mm-hmm.
And you aren't able to get it back under control. And then if that becomes a habit, then the body starts to do that on a regular basis, and really for nothing, for no, you know, for odd reasons and for very little reasons.
Mm-hmm. So is this more common in women?
It is. They find that women, some forms of anxiety are twice as common as men.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a very common type of thing. People who have suffered from trauma, almost 80% of them have anxiety disorders.
So why do you think it's more common in women?
I would probably say that it's more common in women just because of the difference in their response to fight and flight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for men, there's more of a fight. It's okay to fight
mm-hmm.
or run. And women kind of say, buck it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's
that. Put the world on their shoulders and move on. And,
right. Mm-hmm. Also, they have more hormonal, if there's an underlying hormonal, than their endocrine system. So when you're talking about the fight-flight mechanism, it's a whole body reaction.
Mm-hmm.
The entire system reacts. And one of the big areas that we always deal with is the hormones and how the hormones react. And women, human women are the only mammals in the world that have a monthly cycle. Most other creatures just have it on a very, like one time a year or something mm-hmm. like that. Human women are the only ones that have to go through that on a regular basis, which puts a tremendous stress on their endocrine system. So it's a lot more delicate, it's a lot more involved, and so with a greater stress, their endocrine system can be broken down much quicker and much more easily.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So what are the medical treatments for anxiety?
Well, of course, medication. Mm-hmm. Anti-anxiety medications, you know, Paxil, you think of, all those different ones are some of the biggest sellers. You know, in America, for every man, woman, and child in America, each year, 12 prescriptions are written.
Mm.
So we are taking in huge amounts of pharmaceuticals, and the attitude of America is, let's just go on ahead and take a pill.
Mm-hmm.
Or also one of the biggest things is drug and alcohol addiction. So people will self-medicate.
Mm-hmm.
So alcoholism, drug addiction, most of those people also were probably suffering from some type of anxiety disorder. And they were using that as a self-medication. So it's a very big problem that's actually leading to a lot of issues.
Okay. We come back. We're going to talk about some natural remedies to help with anxiety.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
When you're talking about structure function care, what we're doing is improving the health of the individual. Really, the only way that you can be able to make a difference on chronic kidney disease, not just slow it down, but reverse it, is through structure function care. Because you're talking about healing the kidneys. And healing the kidneys is the answer to chronic kidney disease. Pharmaceuticals don't heal anything. Now, they're very important when you're talking about diabetes. If you are type 1 diabetic, you thank God for insulin. If you are not controlling your diabetes, or if you come in and it's uncontrolled at that point, we need to give you some medication to get it under control until we can figure out how to heal you up, how to get your weight down, how to do all the different types of things so that you don't have to be on the pharmaceuticals anymore. If you come in and you are already in chronic kidney disease and it's causing severe hypertension, then you have to be on a high blood pressure medicine to get that under control until we can figure out how to fix the kidneys. So pharmaceuticals are absolutely wonderful, nothing against them at all, but they're not going to heal anything. They're there to control a crisis and to keep it under control until you can get to the underlying root and then try to fix it. When you're talking about structure function care, where you're bringing things from imbalance to balance to homeostasis and you start a healing process, that is essential for chronic kidney disease. If you're talking about dealing with this in a reasonable type of a way, where you can really make a difference, structure function care has to be part of the discussion. If it's not, you're not really interested in fixing the chronic kidney disease. So structure function has to be in the loop on that. And unfortunately, it's not. That's why we're having such a problem. That's why the Center of Disease Control is saying, hey, we got a crisis here. What do we do about it? We're not getting any type of results on it. So structure function care is really what we're talking about in here as an answer to chronic kidney disease. And it is the answer to chronic kidney disease.
So how effective is structure function care in the treatment of chronic kidney disease?
Amazing. We've had top-notch physiologists looking at our results, the changes that we're making on the chronic kidney disease, and they're blown away by it.
And you're talking about blood work.
We're talking about evidence-based. Mm-hmm. We know whether we're making a difference or not. Other people know whether we're making a difference or not. Patient knows whether we're making a difference or not. And we are truly making some amazing changes on chronic kidney disease that really no one else is.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day. So let it get away.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
Well, we're talking about anxiety and stress and how we need to keep those under control. Stress is part of everybody's life, especially to keep our immune system up. You know, we've been talking about the coronavirus and that. So let's talk about natural remedies. What are some herbal remedies for anxiety and stress that are helpful?
One of my favorite ones is a Vena sativa. Very good. Basically, what that means is oat straw. And that's been used for thousands of years for anxiety and stress. So what people would do is they would make a concoction and drink it and also bathe in it. And Vena sativa is one of the better things to relax. And obviously it works, otherwise it hadn't been around for thousands of years.
And you carry that in a liquid?
We do. Okay. We do that. We have that in a homeopathic type of form. very, very relaxing, and something that some companies, like with skin creams and bath stuff, have made a whole company out of it.
Okay, so a Venus sativa. What else?
The other thing, of course, is lavender.
Mm-hmm.
Lavender is absolutely wonderful. That's why people have it. That's why they breathe it. Lavender is absolutely great for relaxing. Some of the other ones that we carry along, because there's actually literally huge number of them.
Mm-hmm.
Kava Kava.
I like that. Kava Kava.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Uh-huh.
That's a great, great little word. That also has a very strong, usually a Venus sativa is much more milder. If you really get into heavy anxiety and stress, then we go into the Kava Kava.
Okay. And Kava Kava is an herbal?
Herbal. And we also have it in a homeopathic form, too.
Okay.
So we can do either one of those, and that does really well.
Mm-hmm.
St. John's wort, very well known to work along those lines. It has been known for a relaxer. And again, St. John's wort, we find that we don't use that for the milder cases, but is very effective for cases that are much worse.
Okay.
So that's a big one. Passion flower is a very nice little herb. And again, it's a little bit more of a milder form, but that's something that's used in some of the combinations that we have. And passion flower is an excellent one for settling down the stress level, and also great for milder situations. Chamomile. Chamomile
mm-hmm.
tea.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent along those lines. And again, it's a little bit milder form. It's kind of a nice little sedative. Helps you to sleep. So that's also something that's really good. So those are some of the more common ones.
So there's the herbals, the homeopathics, flower remedies.
Right. Flower remedies are very big. If you've ever noticed that one of the things is Dr. Bach, who was a famous English physician, noticed that when people went into funerals and they had flowers all around, that everybody was all upset, and then they went in there and they calmed down.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, the reason that funeral homes have a lot of flowers usually around is because of the calming effect. They also find that people who are gardeners and raise flowers live longer,
mm.
and they're more calm.
Mm-hmm.
So what he did was he took the essences of flowers, put them into remedies, and came up with the Bach remedies. And you can use those, and they have very specific things for different types of issues, different emotional types of issues, and they really do prove pretty true. So when I find that a certain flower remedy works on someone, I sit there and I read what it's for, and they said, bingo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
what emotion
me.
It's for.
Yeah.
What's going on.
What's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Then they also came up with the Perilandria flowers, which is more of a garden. So someone took it and developed it even further.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's something called the Australian flower remedies. And we use those quite a bit for emotional type of help, and helps out quite a bit.
Okay. Well, let's talk about vitamins and minerals that help with stress and anxiety.
Well, whenever you're talking about stress and anxiety, then you talk about the first thing that almost every nutritionist thinks about is the B vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
So B12 is very important, niacin, folic acid for the nervous system. The nerve vitamin is B6, pyridoxin.
Hmm.
So that is specifically helps out with both the endocrine system, because B6 is important for the adrenals, which the adrenals are usually the things that get worn out.
Mm-hmm.
And then also is very good for the nervous system. Matter of fact, for like carpal tunnel,
mm-hmm.
B6 has been shown to be more effective than carpal tunnel surgery
mm-hmm.
on settling down the nervous system. So looking at the B vitamins is extremely important. Very, very helpful, and that would be one of the first places you would go for that. The other thing is on the minerals. Magnesium is extremely well known to be a relaxer for the system. Calcium if needed, but magnesium is one thing that you can usually do and get people settled down like very quickly. The copper-zinc ratio is extremely important too. If you have an electrical wire and you have the copper, if you put more copper in, the wire runs hotter and faster. If you put more zinc in, it slows down the copper wire. The same is actually true for the nervous system. So if you want to settle down the system, get it more eased up, and you give zinc in for people.
Okay.
So we have a lot of people with anxiety disorders that we find a copper zinc ratio imbalance, get their zinc levels up, and all of a sudden you've got a new person or a new child.
And they can get that checked by doing a hair analysis.
Hair analysis is how you check for the minerals. We also have a NutriVal that checks for the deficiencies in the vitamins, and we can see exactly what's going on along those lines. And know, you know, where the deficiency is and how to get that corrected.
Well, let's talk about the benefits of acupuncture directly relating to decreasing stress and anxiety.
Well, one of the things is for PTSD. I've talked about this before, but the FEMA group, whenever they have natural disasters, now call in acupuncturists and chiropractors to treat the patients. Because they have found that people with PTSD, traumas, that if they get treated right away with acupuncture or auricular, that there is 80% less chances that they're going to have anxiety disorders later on.
And why is that?
It rewires the brain. It rewires the response. So what happens and why anxiety disorders become common is because the body's in a loop. And you're in a fight-flight stress loop. And if that loop continues, then it becomes a habit and the body responds quicker and quicker and quicker and easier and easier the more that it's stimulated along those lines. So if you break that cycle and you break it as quickly as possible, then you don't develop that pattern in your body. And the quickest, fastest way to do that is acupuncture and then also working on the ears.
Yeah, when you say auricular therapy, that means we're working on points on the ears.
The acupuncture works on the body's response, and the ears works on the brain response.
Yeah, the auricular.
Both of them are very important to help to stop the anxiety and stresses, but they work in different types of manners. So the ear is specifically for the brain response, the acupuncture is for the body's response.
Let's talk about the importance of body work, benefit, the chiropractic and massage.
Yes, as you can get your body, you know, relaxed on the positioning. One of the things is if you have a mental illness, the quickest, easiest way to make a diagnosis and the most accurate is body position. So if you can change the body position, then that actually changes the emotional response.
You're talking about posture?
Posture. Posture. The positions that people are in. Ida Roth was a psychiatrist who, when she was doing studies, she was actually a teacher, was talking about the best way to diagnose different types of conditions. And she said body position is one of the best things. So she came to the conclusion, if I can change the body position, then I can change the condition, and it does work.
Yeah.
So chiropractic body, muscle work, massage, really, really helps with that.
Okay. Well, Dr. Prather, we have a little bit of time, 10 to 15 seconds. Anything you want to say to wrap up?
Okay. Don't worry. Don't get stressed.
Don't
but take
worry.
Action.
Be happy.
Take action. Find someone who can help you to boost your immune system during this time, reduce your stress levels, and that will go a long ways in your health and well-being.
And again, we have those immune packages that we're going to be offering at the Prather Practice. So
correct.
Stay tuned for that. Thank All right. you, Dr.
Thank
Prather.
Thank you.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
The 1-2-3 punch to boost your immune system.
They don't have a medication for the coronavirus. But one of the ways that you can do that is boosting your own immune system. Beta carotene is a very, very safe way to do that. You can take large amounts of it, and it really helps with upper respiratory infections. The viruses have to be able to penetrate the cell wall. And monolaurin builds up the cell wall and makes it stronger. And if you are taking cholesterol-lowering drugs, you're much more susceptible to viruses. We, at this point, can make a homeopathic for all the coronaviruses, and then we can also add in the homeopathic for the COVID-19, which helps the body to isolate and to boost the immune system to attack the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. That's what homeopathics do. 1-2-3 punch, three simple types of things: beta carotene, the monolaurin, and the homeopathic.
Call the Prather practice and learn more about our 1-2-3 punch to boost your immune system. 317-848-8048, or learn more at thevoiceofhealthradio.com.